So I'm speaking to Sean Michaud, currently the mayor of Sackville. He's running for the position of first mayor of the new town of Tantramar. Mayor Michaud, before you became mayor of Sackville, you served for a number of years as town councilor. For listeners who might not be familiar, can you sort of introduce yourself and including any previous involvement on council?
Sure. Well, I was born and raised here in Sackville. After college, spent about 5-6 years in the Fredericton area, came back to Sackville, transferred here through Atlantic Wholesalers, and worked with Atlantic Wholesalers for several years until they left town. And then worked, my formal training's in accommodation food and beverage management, and I worked managing Pizza Light here downtown for a few years, and actually was owner of Ducky's for a couple of years, and sold it to the Wheatons. And spent about 12 years with Gordon Food Service in Amherst, and also Bluegenics here in Sackville for a couple of years. And now I work part-time at the independent grocer. Married to Angela, who's also from the area. She's from the British Settlement area. She has operated a business here in town for about 30 years. And I have one son, Luke, who's 33. He lives in Dieppe. And my involvement with council actually began back in 98. Terms then were 3 years. So I served from 98 until 2004. And I chose to kind of get out of it at that point in time. I got back in 2012. And served until 2016. I found that at that time I was working at Gordon Food Service, and I was a supply chain analyst there. And the days were quite full, and the commitment, I just didn't make that commitment to council, especially working by town. So, as things changed, by-election came up in December 2018, and I ran for that, was successful, and have been involved in council, I guess, overall. Come this January, it'll be 14 years.
And what made you to decide to run again, and in particular for the position of the new mayor of Tantramar?
Well, first of all, I made a commitment to a four-year term for Mayor Sackville, but it's about ensuring that we mitigate this amalgamation in a way that will see us seek out the best opportunity and options for the new community. And I think we need to have strong leadership around the council chambers. It's not just the mayor. We have to have strong councillors, because we will be facing possibly some difficult choices as we look at services and the ability to deliver services in the new community. And, those type of decisions might be tough, and may not always be decisions that are well received. So, but we need to be kind of a unit that is prepared to tackle amalgamation and pull us together as a new community. One of the biggest challenges, I think, is going to be communication, right? We need to hear from every corner of this municipality. The ward system will provide that, but at the same end, to understand the services, how it's affecting people in, let's say, Dorchester, British Settlement, Midgett, All Act, we have to get an understanding, and we need to bring folks to the table and be part of that. And I think that's something that, I'll revert back to my days as a counselor in Sackville. We used to have a very robust advisory committee system where we had parks and recreation and et cetera, just different. And I think that will be an important part of ensuring that we're getting those voices at the table and we're actually hearing from citizens. These folks these folks who would be involved in these committees are the outreach. They're the people that can reach into their communities and their areas and pull out of it what those areas feel needs to be taking place. And I think that'll be an important part. Public safety is going to be a really key thing. Policing is one of our most expensive items. And when we are looking at our own municipal policing service agreement, and also a provincial policing service agreement that Dorchester has in place, and then provincial policing service agreements for the local service districts, we are going to have to figure out, you know, I know the province is going to start tackling this in 2023, but we are going to need to start sorting out what type of policing model is going to best suit our needs, and how that will look. So, you know, those are some things that I think we, that I'll be encouraging council to take on. As you know, council are the ones that are making the decision, and I'll be encouraging that type of approach.
I guess having been exposed to the first part of the amalgamation process, you see that as an asset, you can kind of guide the council into the next part of this of municipal reform.
Yeah, I think what it is, it's more so of being open-minded. You know, this hasn't been an easy process. People don't like change. And so how do we do that? How do we get better at this? How do we ensure that we are looking at opportunity? And I think that those are the things we have to focus on. You know, let's put aside the negativity, right? Let's put our energy into moving our community forward. One thing I've had the opportunity to do is talk to other mayors and how they have handled or how they work through this. I had spoke, one of the first phone calls I made as the white paper was released and where I saw what was going to happen here for our communities, I spoke to Adam Lorden, the mayor of Mary Lachie, and talked about how they worked through amalgamation. Right next door, Memram Cook went through amalgamation in the 90s. At a recent, back in August, I was invited to the Atlantic Mayor's Congress, and I had the opportunity to speak with the mayor of the town of Portugal Cove, St. Philip's in Newfoundland, Carol McDonald, and also the CBRM mayor in Nova Scotia, Amanda McDougall, and talked about how amalgamation affected their communities. And they both said, you know, it's tough. It's tough. It's going to be tough for the first few years, but they are better off for it after, you know, after those initial kind of 4 or 5 years, they are better off for it.
Now, there's a few local issues that we've been watching at CHMA. Housing is near the top of the list here. People often refer to housing as a provincial issue, but we've also seen examples of municipalities trying to take the lead on the housing file. The city of Moncton with its Rising Tide initiative comes to mind. We've heard stories of renters losing their homes and struggling to find a place to live. What do you see as the town's possible role in protecting housing affordability and availability?
Well, you know, sometimes what you have to do is not reinvent the wheel. You have to look at what's going on around you. Most recently, Amherst has taken some very positive steps in that. I have a meeting actually coming up Wednesday afternoon with Mayor Cogan and Amherst just to talk about, you know, the Chinecto Isthmus and other issues, including housing and some of the initiatives they've taken as a council in regards to how they can help mitigate the homelessness and housing issues. That's something that's being addressed at the Regional Service Commission level, something that hopefully what will happen is that we'll have a little more opportunity to influence how it's dealt with in our communities. And I think that's the biggest thing. Right now, we don't have that. The province is kind of guiding the ship, and I think we need to be there in order to kind of pull it through. But you have to understand what your needs are first, and that's something that's already going on, right? That we're out there to understand what the needs are of the community. I initially had a call when Minister Fitch was the Minister of Social Development, and he said, you need to identify that. You need to identify what the needs are in your community before we can help determine where the money, what monies might be available to help you there. I have a meeting coming up this week with ONB, in regards to housing and what role they might be able to play in housing. Because if we are going to grow as a new municipality, if we are to be economically vibrant, we have to have housing. And it has to, I in my mind, has to be housing at all levels. So those are some of the key things that when it comes to housing that we need to work on. And what is it that the new council can sink their teeth into and put it out in front and say, okay, we need to create this and add this as a budget item. No different than what we did with the Sackville Town Council did with the hospital and identifying a line item of $10,000 towards initiatives for recruitment, et cetera. So I think the opportunity exists. It's just that we have to know exactly what it is we need to achieve before we can actually flip the switch and get it rolling. So.
Now, the next issue I want to talk about was transparency and openness. The town of Sackville has received some criticism for a lack of transparency over, for example, the Montana report on the Sackville Fire Department, which hasn't been released. The code of conduct complaints also come to mind. Can you talk about your philosophy when it comes to transparency of local government and how you respond to those kinds of criticisms?
Well, I guess when I look at transparency, it comes down to exactly what somebody's definition is of transparency. If someone isn't getting the answer they want, then sometimes they say, you're not being transparent. And I think that's what we have to get at here is the fact that, I'm not going to go back into that situation. It's been dealt with by the Sackville. It's been dealt with by the Council of Sackville. And it was identified that things needed to be done. And it is a human resources matter. I know if I was part of a work that was being done and a report that was being done, and I was an employee in a business that was having this done, I don't think I'd want what is going on in me HR wise out in front of everybody's hands. But this is where.
That's reference to the code of contact code of conduct complaints for Councillor Bruce Finney.
Well,
Correct.
no, it, it's you were talking about the Montana report, right? So the
Oh, yes,
Montana
that's right.
report is an HR matter. And human resources matter are human. It's no different working where I work now at the independent grocer. That's my relationship with my employer is my relationship with my employer and vice versa. And if there's something happening there, then it gets dealt with the employer and the employee. And the thing is that's where we have to look at this. If people weren't happy with, if there's members of the fire department who are continue to be unhappy with how things turned out, then that's something that they have to raise with their managers. And I think that's where we have to look at here is the fact of, what's somebody's definition of transparency. In my mind, since 1998, I think we've been very forthcoming as a municipality, and I would hope that in the future, as councils can, as this new council and the next council continues to do that we are engaging, that we are informative. Each councillor has a role to play in that. Every person that's going to be elected, we talk about communication. Well, communication falls to us as individual elected officials. We need to be connecting with our community, and we need to be talking to people within our community. I have the opportunity every day to have a conversation with people in my community. It's my job to ensure that the information is being shared, and that's important. But there is going to be pieces of information that can't be shared, that legally can't be shared. And I think that's where we have to kind of help people understand, what can and cannot be.
Okay, fair enough. Moving now to local business and economic development, the province has ma mandated the Southeast Regional Services Commission to take on economic development in the context of all the reforms and changes that we're seeing right now. In these circumstances, should Tantramar have its own business development activities, in your view?
Well, the services, and it's been yet to determine exactly how those services will look because they're in their infancy, and they'll be, committee struck with each of these new services, and economic development is one of them. This isn't to replace what is already happening. This is to enhance what is already happening, and when it comes to business development and economic development, it takes the right team in order to bring that together. And I think that's where the commission can bring that team forward. And also, there's differences. There's differences between rural and a city when it comes to their economic drivers and what they're doing. And that's been something that has come to the forefront with the Regional Service Commission, and the fact that when they were looking at economic development before the white paper was released, they seemed to be focused more so on that tri-community area. And there was a lot of mayors around the table, including myself and Mayor Dorchester and Mayor Memo Cook and Mayor Port Elgin, that were concerned that it wasn't looking at rural New Brunswick. It was just that the rural areas that fall into the Service Commission, it was just looking at the tri-community area. So,
The Metro Moncton area.
So Riverview, Moncton, yeah. And and that's been something that's being echoed by the regional mayors. And so what we have to do is that we have to figure out what council will have to do, and we'll have to figure out what next steps are. And and how and be part of that discussion at the Regional Service Commission level, and then in turn seeing what, okay, so how can they help us enhance our delivery and working to create an economic growth in our area. And I think that's going to be key. Right now, our biggest task, and I said at the beginning, is this transition. Yes, we have to keep our finger on the pulse of what else is going on, but we're gonna need a while to get to know each other, right? It's a new relationship, and we need to get, we're close already. Our communities are close. However, we really have to get to know each other.
So, because of the changing nature and the uncertainties around municipal reform, the town's role, the town of Tantramar's role in supporting local business, is uncertain. Or do you think that there are, do you have examples of things that you think that Tantramar should be doing, one way or the other, or that someone should be
Well,
doing? If it's not Tantramar, perhaps the commission.
and I think what it comes down to is that you have to do proper land planning. People coming in need to understand where they can situate a particular type of business. We have to understand the nature of what's available for employees. If someone's looking to set up a shop here and they're looking for 40 employees, what's the skill set? So we need to have an understanding of all those pieces. And that's something that can be done locally. That we can sort out, we can get that information and put it in place so that we are geared to be as effective as we can if somebody comes looking, right? And then how can the Regional Service Commission, through their economic drivers, with that group, how can they enhance that? It's no different, when somebody, when Monero Solutions is located here. I was one of the first employees there. In fact, I took the first call at that business. And one of the things was is to get an understanding of the drawing area, understanding of, okay, so guess what? It's not just people who live maybe in Sackville. There's people in Dorchester, outside areas. There's people in Memram Cook because they needed a bilingual workforce. There's people in Dieppe, Moncton, et cetera. And I think we have to have an understanding of that. We need to play a role in that because we can't be letting somebody else drive our economic growth. We need to drive that, but we also need help driving it.
Okay. Now switching gears to climate change, obviously a big issue for the Tanchamar area because of sea level rise, flooding, Hurricane Fiona, as we saw, underlining the significance and giving us a hint of things to come. Should the town of Sackville have, should the town of Tanchamar have, as currently is in place in Sackville, a climate change advisory committee, in your view? And should the town continue to support a climate change coordinator for the municipality?
Most definitely. We know what's happening. And that was a commitment that the Sackville Town Council made in regards to setting its priorities, which was provided through to the facilitator and to the province in regards to what our community's priorities were for 2023. And it was to maintain the climate change coordinator's position. Also, the work that's been done by the current climate change committee is important work. And this is what I was talking about initially when we started our interview, was the importance of that feedback and input and helping guide council and staff into making those type of decisions that will benefit the entire region.
And in terms of the impacts of climate change and particularly flooding, what actions do you think the town needs to take to protect it from these effects?
Well, you know, I mean, I can only speak for Sackville, right? Just on what we've experienced so far. But I mean, as I mentioned, Mayor Cogan and I talk about the Chinecto Isthmus. One of the concerns that was raised by previous Mayor John Hyam was with Mayor Cogan was the fact that when this study is completed, it needs to take into consideration that you have two communities on either side that are exposed to sea rise. And that we need to ensure that any work that's going to take place includes that. On Sackville's side of things is the fact that we also deal and continue to deal with freshwater flooding. There's been a very detailed plan put in place in regards to how we're going to work through that. One of those phase three has kicked off, and you know, those important things will happen. You know, we're pushing right now in order to get the Abado upgraded, because that will be a big part in this, the one that exists out behind the public works. Also, most recently, I've had meetings with a representative from CN in regards to their infrastructure on the 106 just down Carter's Turn Things Road, and getting that kind of rework so that it helps move that water out of that area quicker so that it can go into the river and gone. So, you know, these are all things. There's flooding that's happening on the other side of Dorchester in the Burrow Creek area, where the tracks are right up against the road there. So Dorchester gets cut off. I mean, Dorchester, when it floods the 106 on this side and the 106 on the Cook side, they're cut off. Their access is through the Walker Road, Woodline Road, Walker Road. You know, we work at different things to help deal with that too, and getting Walker Road upgraded and the dirt area upgraded so that becomes more of a connector. I mean, we have a major exit there on the Trans-Canada Highway. When you talk about growth and opportunity, if we can see that infrastructure improved, there's opportunity in the Dorchester area as well in regards to economic growth. You know, there's space there. And you know, we have to be looking at it kind of broader like that. You know, there's, like I said, there's great opportunity, but these climate issues and the weather issues, we have to address sooner or later.
Absolutely. Any other issues that you're hoping to highlight in your campaign?
Well, I think right now for me, again, it's about that communication piece. We have to be better at communication. We lost the local newspaper, and people still like print media. People I've been talking to like print media, and we have to continue that road of ensuring that we're communicating in a means and providing the information. And, you know, sometimes people don't like what they see or hear, but at least the information's out there and they can see it and provide their feedback. We will have a challenge in the next couple of years. We need people around that council chamber that are prepared to take on that challenge, who aren't fearful of making those sometimes not popular decisions. That's what we're going to need in order to kind of move our community forward. And we have to learn not just to listen, but to hear what's being said. And I think that will be important for us to be able to move things forward. And, you know, this is exciting times. How often can you say in your lifetime that you're creating a new chapter, you're writing a new book? We have potential here. Our area has a lot of potential, a lot of good things going on with it. And so how do we accentuate that? That was one of the things that one of the first ministers to visit us here in the town of Sackville back in September of last year was Minister Tammy Scott Wallace in Tourism and Heritage. And, she toured around. We had her into Bolton House and met with some Heritage Trust folks. And she was just flabbergasted at the history that exists in our community. And myself and Paul Bogart were speaking with her, and we were talking about our history here and talking about, and she goes, and this is what you folks need to do. What sells a community in a region better than the people who live here? And we have that opportunity. You know, we're on exit 506 is the beginning of the Fundy Coastal Drive. The province is focusing on a lot of attention on their version of the Cabot Trail, the Fundy Trail. And this connects right into it. So we have a lot of opportunity, and we have a lot of smart people around, a very diverse community and region, and we're poised for big things. I really believe that.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Anything else to add briefly?
That would be it, David. Thanks.
Okay. Well, Sean Michaud, current mayor of Sackville, running for the position of the mayor of the new town of Tantramar, with two opponents, Bonnie Swift, and current deputy mayor Andrew Black, and we'll have interviews with both of them as well. So, thanks again.
Thanks very much.